Hey, welcome to our podcast. This is Bad Playstyle. Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast where we all sit down and play the same game. And hopefully you have played the same game at home so that you can be intellectually engaged with our conversation.
Not psychically savaged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to spoil every game that we set out to play. And any games that come up, I don't know, we'll probably fucking spoil them too, so check the show notes before you listen to an episode if you don't want to get blindsided by us mentioning off the cuff that, I don't know, Paul Ryan is Atlas.
Well, you want to talk about, like, why we're doing this? Like, where you got the idea? I was going to say, this idea predates the world stepping into an alternate hellscape timeline.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, like, apropos of Doom.
Yeah.
Right?
Now we are all the Doomer.
Yeah. Doom Slayer.
Yeah. I love that I think my favorite thing in Doom is the ability to walk away during those sequences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I actually find that, like,
in character.
But it's, like, way more, like, it says way more about the game and, like, what the game wants that, like, there's this dude. And then you just, like, it just sort of, like, fades away because, like,
yeah, whatever.
You're walking off to go kill some
people. Yeah, like...
Like, the Doom Slayer doesn't need someone to tell him who the Doom Slayer is.
Right.
So I guess we're talking about Doom now, so I should say, if you don't want spoilers for Doom...
Why don't I answer what you said about starting this podcast.
Sure,
so
sure.
I made some off-the-cuff remark on Facebook that is an idea that popped in my head, I think, when I was at work, but, like... Tank Controls would be a really good name for a podcast.
And yeah, like, that is how this started.
Yeah, and that was just like, that was like a random idea I had when I was like at work or something. And a friend of mine who actually has run a podcast, who we're hopefully going to get on here someday.
Yeah.
But he's a busy man. Anyway, he just said like, oh yeah, if you want to start a podcast, I can make that happen. And I was like, oh, that's...
Oh my.
Yeah.
Like, me?
Yeah. I never created anything.
So I guess my follow-up question for that would be, do you hate Tank Controls?
I actually don't really have a relationship with them. Tank Controls is something I think you see mostly in console games.
Yeah, definitely. Resident Evil
like
is the worst 3D, defender.
3D console
which
games?
Which I guess tells you how I feel about Tank Controls.
I've actually never owned a 3D home console.
That's fair.
I'm not going to, like...
Wait, weren't there 3D games on the Super Nintendo?
There was Star Fox.
Okay.
Period.
But, like,
maybe
yeah.
They taped away the S.
Yeah.
There was a 3D game on the Super Nintendo.
There's other stuff, but,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, there's a couple games that utilize...
But you could even argue that, like, Star Fox is 2.5D with 3D models, right? Like, the way 2.5D has been defined.
I think Star Fox is a 3D game. I would call it a 3D game, hands down.
It's on a rail, though. So that, like, sort of...
It's on rails, sure, yeah. But it's still a 3D render game.
So it's Time Crisis.
Yeah. But there's like, a couple games that use the Mysterious Mode 7. The SNES.
The Mysterious Mode 7. I'm going to have to hear about this.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is the particular time. Anyway, we're kind of... we're stumbling all over ourselves because it's podcast one, but...
Yeah.
Let's go around the room. Who's this gentleman over here?
I am Keenan. What are we saying here?
You just... That's it. That's all you need to say.
I'm a Sega Genesis kid.
Okay.
Yeah. my name is Owen.
Yeah.
I play a lot of PC games. The last home console I got was a Super Nintendo, and it was given to me by my sister when the PlayStation 1 came out. Because she didn't want anymore, because it was some old busted ass console to her.
Yeah, that's the show that she though. The Super Nintendo is a beast.
Yeah,
it's still going.
Well, I guarantee you that PlayStation that she replaced it for does not work anymore. But I'll tell you, sure as sugar that the SNES still works.
Yeah. And I'm Matt. And I'm whatever.
a charmer.
Nailed it.
Nail everything. Anyway. Moving on, this is our book club that I think Keenan named Bad Playstyle.
I think I think that was Owen.
Yeah.
But really? I think we were talking about, I don't know, that name conversation was weird.
Yeah, it was a little idea storm.
Yeah.
It's called Bad Play Style. Why is it called Bad Play Style? I'll ask the table.
Oh, because we're bad at video games.
Because we're bad at video games. Yeah,
we're bad at video games, and also it's supposed to be a play on like, there's not really a wrong way to play a game.
Yeah.
But I think all of us have definitely found the wrong way to play games at certain points.
Have you ever made your parents play video games?
Yeah.
That's true. Play video games.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Like, with the small exception of VR, I think throwing someone into VR is kind of hard to fuck up. Like, you can hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of WASD straight up bouncing off old people's brains.
Yeah.
But, like,
VR is much more intuitive.
Of moving your body.
Yeah.
I already know how to do that.
I don't know. When I brought my family over to use the VR headset, I definitely threw my brother in the wrong way and threw my parents in the right way without realizing it. Where I put my brother in to play the lab and had him do the robot dissection thing.
Okay.
And he was like very visually overwhelmed by like all the robot parts coming out in his face and didn't want to touch it. And then when it broke, he got scared that he'd actually fucked up the robot. And I had to explain to my friends, like, no, it's cool. Like, you have to fuck that one
That
up.
Just happens.
Whereas, like, when I put my dad in, I put him in a job simulator, and he just started making smoothies and was having a great time. Yeah. And I put my mom in Tilt Brush, and she had a great time with Tilt Brush.
I put my mom in King Kaiju, and she kept accidentally hitting the teleport button and being like, where did the world go? And I'd be like, turn around! Because she would teleport like 3 times in quick succession, because that game doesn't have cooldown on teleport like everything else. Anyway, we're talking about Doom.
Yes.
That's what we're here
to do. That's the point of why we're here.
So the point was we were going to play short form video games. The first one we picked was Doom. Because why? Because
we were all just playing it.
We were already playing it.
And Doom is very good.
It's a good thing to talk about. It's got a lot of things going with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you have papers. So
I have my Doom budget.
Ooh,
Doom
budget.
Not to be confused with our Nightmare Hellscape reality.
Last night at like 1 a.m. I realized...
Well, that's just the regular executive branch's agenda.
It's just a regular Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, last night at 1 a.m. when I was going to bed, I realized I hadn't written out my notes for Doom. And I said to myself, no, I'll write my Doom agenda tomorrow morning. And I was like, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good mouthfeel, though.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my Doom agenda more.
Good mouthfeel?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
The verbal texture of
it. Yeah.
God damn it.
I like that Matt hates mouthfeel.
Dude, words have been triggering my shit lately. Steven said gunt the other day, and I was just like, stop it! And it wasn't anything to do with, like, the visual imagery of that. It was literally...
just the word itself.
Said, the mouthfeel.
Yes.
Which, I hate you, of that particular phrase. Anyway, Doom agenda. Sorry.
I just had the beats I wanted to make sure I hit when we talked
about it. So hit some beats.
Yeah. Lay it down.
Jackson beats.
Where do we start?
Beat Jackson.
Yeah.
Do we start with the beginning? That's logical, but is that where we want to start?
You were going to say something. What?
Doom plays like a game I didn't know I wanted anymore.
Sure, yeah. It's definitely a throwback, but at the same time, it's got a lot of modern stuff
to it. Like, I feel like these days...
like RPG mechanics.
We often see like a lot of shooters that are like trying to be this thing that isn't really popular anymore. Like I've seen on Steam like games that want to be Quake 3 Arena, or like a modern take on Quake.
There's a lot of things that want to be UT.
Yeah,
right?
and they very much like execute on that ethos.
Well, remember the picture I told you about the other day? You will never be 15 on Blood Gulch ever again.
Right.
And we were both just like, oh, that's so sad, but it's really true.
Right.
We're not there anymore.
Yeah.
And so like. Doom is like very much in this old style that like if someone just told me about it, I would say like, okay, that sounds cool. I don't think that's gonna I don't think it's gonna find its feet in 2016. I don't think that audience exists for it anymore. I don't think people I don't think what it's offering sounds enticing.
Right. Your immediate thing is to not believe it. Yeah. Right? Like,
it's like, oh, it's like, it's violent and it's self-aware and it, like, you're killing demons. And it's like, cool, that sounds like Duke Nukem. Like, yeah. Fucking great.
Yeah.
You know? But no, instead it's actually incredible. It's this adrenaline, like, using adrenaline to, like, describe an action video game is, like, the most tired thing in the world.
But then, like, it works!
Yeah, there's a game that would, like, get me jacked up and, like, a little on edge to the point where I would have to take breaks from it.
Yeah, like, if I'm screaming, gotcha, bitch, to a Mancuba, like, the product is doing what it meant to yes. do, right?
Yeah. Product goals achieved,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, or I remember... Or
if I'm in the middle of a Berserker power-up and I yell, come here, bitch, at oh, Baron. Yeah, yeah, oh. Like...
The way he flexes his hands, yeah. Like, does it all for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of good, like, first-person anime.
Yeah.
So I guess I have a question. When was the moment you knew that it was working? Like, the first moment...
The demo. So, like, for me, I found out, oh, there's a demo. I was like, cool, one... There's a fucking demo, right? Which
like 2016.
It's 2016, and yeah. There's a demo. Well,
I had neither of you guys have read Masters of Doom, right?
No, not yet.
So it's like a history of id and like of like early id making like Commander Keen and shit like that. And Doom,
the Blastoise Chronicles.
Yeah, and like part of like how Doom really made its bones, or how id made its bones, is like. When they made Doom, they made it as a shareware demo, and they distributed it themselves. They didn't go through publishers. They were, like mailing out these floppies to people.
Right.
And so, like, Doom in 2016 having a demo is, like, the most id thing in the world.
Yeah, it is Doom. Yeah. Again, right?
Yeah. Like the way they sold their game is, like...
You're going to like the way it plays, I guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the demo for me was, like, one, there's a demo, cool, I'm going to download that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I played it, and those... It's, like, the first two level... It's, like, the intro and the first real level of the game, right? Like, air quotes, real level. And, like, it's just enough for the game to just sort of, like, kick you in the nuts, slap you in the face, and be like, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that was enough for me to be like, yes, when I have money, I want more of this.
Sure.
Because, like, part of it's that intro sequence does a really good job, but then, like, I really like the way that game progresses along its path. And you could see that in the demo, and, like, I already knew, okay, there's going to be more after that, to the point where I was like, yes, more.
Yes, please, sir,
may I have some more.
May I have another. For me, it was the moment where I realized the Doom Marine wasn't going to stop breaking things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, then you're like, oh, man.
Okay, I get it. Like, and it was like the dude said in the documentary, what if the thing is that they know? And we know they know, and we all know,
right?
And it's just shoot demons,
right?
So for our two listeners at home,
all two,
what Matt just referenced off the cuff is a documentary series on YouTube made by Danny O'Dwyer. It's like a game.
No spot. Clip,
yeah, no is clip
the, is the group name.
He does this marvelous Doom documentary where he interviews a lot of the developers from id, and also interviewing people talking about. The development of the Doom game that just got shit canned.
Yeah, Doom of Duty.
Yeah, yeah, or, yeah. Call of Doom. Whatever.
Yeah,
Doom of Duty. Middle of Doom.
Yeah, recommended viewing for anyone who likes this game or is interested in it,
or just wants to see a fantastically sleazy, like Jersey type dude talk about Doom. Like that guy, he's my favorite.
Hugo Martin.
Yeah.
I could listen to him talk for a while.
I could listen to that dude read the phone book.
Yeah.
Anyway, Owen, what was the moment that it worked for you that you felt
I mean, this is going to be kind of a nostalgia play, but it's like, it's that coming up the elevator sequence with it playing the, like, modern metal rendition of E1, M1.
Yeah.
And, like, the elevator door opens to the surface of Mars, and the Doom Marine, like, racks a shell in time to the
thing
music.
They were talking about that we spent all night
that's,
getting
that's the, like, that's the punctuation point on that whole sequence, though, right? Like, like, it's the, like, shop smart, shop S-smart moment, like... Yeah. You're like, okay, you know what this is. Yeah. Like,
well, I'm glad that works for them.
And then the thing, like, for me, picking one moment was hard when you asked that question, because the game keeps giving you those. The game keeps reaffirming that throughout, right? Yes, you're here to kill and break shit. And yes, like, you don't give a shit what this guy's saying
I love the JRPG... enemy progression.
Yeah.
Where, like, at the begin, the first time I saw Mancubus, I went, oh, fuck, and I, like, took pot shots coming right out of cover, like, real brinksmanship stuff. And then every other time I saw Mancubus after that, I was just like, all right, cool, I'm going to shoot it. All right, what were we talking about?
So we were talking about, you were talking about the enemy progression.
Sure, yeah. And
so, like, first time the Mancubus.
Yeah. First time Mancubus, first time Baron, I was like, oh. Fuck.
It's that the boss of level 2 becomes the standard infantry of level 4.
I was going to say, I think, like, and I think I was talking to Steven about this, I feel like as you gain more of those points that you use to upgrade your weapons, mm-hmm. you get small under-the-hood bonuses. Because I felt like later on it was easier to dispatch enemies that earlier it had taken more hits to dispatch. And this is just a theory of mine. This is just a pet theory of mine. And I don't have a problem with this.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. Like, because the Doom Marine, he's absorbing the Argent energy through his fingers, you know.
Right, no, like if that's the case, it works in this really biological way. Mm. There's this growth that makes me feel, as a player, like I'm handling those dudes better.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know.
Sure.
But if that's what's going on, it works in a really good, subtle way.
I mean, at the point that I noticed that, I think I was using, like, the same three weapons all the time.
I ended up doing that, too.
Yeah. Which, by the way, what were you, like, I, at the end, was exclusively super shotgun, Gauss rifle, rocket launcher. Like,
okay.
Exclusively to all other things.
I almost never used the super shotgun. First of all, the super shotgun can't shoot grenades, so I would never use it over the normal shotgun. And second of all, it always felt like, and like, hey, if you're good enough to use it this way, then, like, you know, go for it. But, like, for me, the risk-reward balance wasn't right for me, that, like, I miss with my shotgun just enough that shooting two at once is not a good investment. It's better for me to spread them out.
Okay.
And that paired with the grenade launcher thing, the grenade launcher attachment for the normal shotgun in that game, I think, is, like, my single favorite weapon in the whole game. If you get it fully upgraded, like, it does this thing where if you get a, like, a meat shot, like a body hit, it just erupts into little bomblets.
Yeah.
And just does, like, disgusting amounts of damage. And you can use it to kill just, like, most enemies in the game. But for me, it was normal shotgun.
With the grenade launcher.
Yeah, with the grenade launcher. I just mean to differentiate it from the super shotgun, the double barrel. The plasma rifle, I used a ton.
I used that at first, but once I got the Gauss cannon, they share ammo, so I stopped using it.
Okay. I would use the Gauss cannon, like, situationally, but not a lot.
Oh, dude, I use that thing all fucking time. Mancubus heads are very large.
I remember I used the little, like, rifle or submachine gun or whatever.
The, like, heavy machine gun
thing? Yeah, the LMG.
With the rockets?
I used that, like, a lot for the first, like, third of the game, and then I just dropped it completely.
Oh, interesting.
That basically, like, the ways in which I was using it were... The roles I used it for were better achieved through other weapons later in the game. Like, the little rocket launcher thing you can get for the LMG was really cool. Until I just started using other weapons, and, like, the shooting part of it, I just realized I liked the plasma gun and was using it in the same way, and the plasma gun's better for doing that. I don't know, that's about it for me. I like the chain gun, but I never felt like I used it enough.
So, I had, like, two different setups. Like, in regular arenas, I was shotgun, heavy machine gun, rocket launcher, depending on what I'm fighting, right? Because the shotgun, you're all up in people's grill with it.
Mm-hmm.
The machine gun is sort of this nice mid-range thing, and then I'd use the rocket launcher on big stuff, because I'd just lock it on and rip a few rockets at it and stop caring.
I actually used the remote detonate rocket a lot, because that dot, nice explosion, I found to be very powerful.
So I bought it, and I never used it, because the lock-on was just... It worked with my playstyle so well.
Yeah, I would lock-on on the rocket launcher.
It's funny, because I used weapons I never use on bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Gauss rifle, the chain gun, and... I ended up using the rocket launcher there, too. When I got the super shotgun, I was, like, really happy with it. But I ended up sort of in the same camp as Owen with it, where even though I played that game really in everything's face, like, I was not afraid of getting all up in front of a Mancubus or anything like that, I liked having the grenade because I found myself in a lot of situations where everything's 20 feet away from me. And so the grenade gives me something to do while I get to them again.
Well, and also the amount of damage the grenade does is enough to one-shot, like, this large body of enemies.
Yeah.
Like, it, a grenade from the rifle, one hit kills an imp, it one mm-hmm. hit kills, like, any of the little zombies, it one hits, like, a number yeah. of different yeah. things. And it can do it accurately at range.
Right.
And then you still have a close-up weapon that you can use without having to even
right.
switch to
it's anything. Like the Swiss Army knife thing that I really enjoy. Like,
I was using my super shotgun as essentially a melee weapon. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's how I used it when I used
it. Once you got the pierce through enemies thing, you could, like, run up in a crowd, stick it in a Hellraiser's gut, and, like, come around on him and go, and, like, three people.
Right.
You know, that's what I was using for.
I really liked the LMG because it's really accurate, so I could just continually, like, circle strafe around stuff, just laying damage into it with a left click. But then the micro-missiles, like, again, when I found out the rocket launcher could lock onto things... That was just the micro missiles, but better.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me with the LMGs. I used it until I got the rocket launcher and was using it a lot. And it's like, okay, cool, putting this thing away later. Yeah. Like, bye, LMG.
I really liked the micro missiles, though. Like, I continuously used those throughout the game because, like, it had just enough auto aim on it
mm-hmm.
that, like, when I needed some downtime from, like, ripping shotgun shells and, you know, moving just enough to stay alive and all of that. I could back off and rip off micro missiles, and it like that's how the tempo of the game went for me. I didn't really do the whole. You hear everyone talk about the chainsaw being this great,
I mean,
balancing factor of when you run out of ammo, but like I was plugging ammo upgrades in immediately, and like sort of once I'd had all of them, that wasn't a problem, right? So it more became about how engaged did I want to be in those longer arenas, and that just really dictated what I used. But those three really. Are it. Because you just... Once you have a pile of ammo, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Anyway, was there any trouble spots for anybody? Anybody have trouble at any point?
Well, like... This isn't, like, exactly, like, a particular trouble spot. It's, like, a mild trouble spot that encompasses the entire game. Where, like, To describe the problem, I would describe something a different game does. In Half-Life 2, it's a first-person game. You run around through a big world, you shoot things, you run around, you jump on things. Mm-hmm. But Half-Life 2 also makes a point of, like, introducing small physics puzzles that, like, aren't at all challenging to actually, like, figure out the puzzle of, but, like, are deliberately put there to break up the pace of the game so that you have some time to, like, mentally decompress after, like, running around and shooting a lot and mm-hmm. running from enemies. And in Doom, there's none of that.
No,
there are no breathing points. Like there's some parts where the game gets quiet, but there's no like I feel psychically exhausted after playing Doom for like 45 minutes often.
Okay.
And like that's not the I've played it for a lot longer than that, but like there were a lot of times where I would just like I would finish a fight or something like that and be like, okay, cool, I'm saving and quitting right now. Like yeah. I need to. Whoa.
I countered that by exploring the map.
Okay.
Is what I did.
Yeah, see, that's
maybe,
also what I
maybe,
did.
Maybe that's it, because I gave no fucks about right. exploring the map. I did no backtracking. I didn't find any secrets.
Right.
I found only a couple of the little bobblehead things, the little Funko Pop Doom Marines.
Yeah, I'd hit this point where like, big room, lots of demons.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, open map, go find the stuff I passed
had that
over.
Problem the first time you went to hell... And on all the UAC levels,
okay.
Before the demon invasion,
yeah,
gets in like full, like before you come back, like right. first, like before the boss, essentially, mm-hmm.
The cyber demon.
Before the cyber demon, okay. I had that problem where I would get exhausted after like big fights, but for some reason after that I didn't. I think it might have
there's
been
a
like,
momentum to
like
it.
My power level or something had risen, or I was like using weapons that fit my brain better or something. I don't know.
There's definitely a comfort. That I found in the latter half of the game because, like, it stopped throwing mechanics at me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I found ways to manage these
I
things.
I did not enjoy my first encounter with pinkies.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it stopped throwing new mechanics at me, and I, like, found ways to deal with everything. And then it was just about learning how to stack them, right? Learning what to prioritize.
That's why I used the super shotgun a lot. I was one-shotting.
Yes.
I was one-shotting pinkies after a single El Toro.
Yeah, you can get around.
Oh, okay.
It's really good for them.
Okay, I can see myself using the super shotgun now because... I never got super great at dealing with pinkies.
Yeah, there and then like
the other thing I would do is I would hit him with the dot, with mm-hmm. from the lock off by exploding it behind them.
Okay.
So you get the extra damage.
It hits their butt, and they're like, my soft butt. And then, like, they're running after you, and you just, like, run away for a bit, and then they die, because that taunt lasts forever.
Okay.
Yeah, so, not like...
literally forever, I think, but, like, it lasts forever.
So this segues really well. What's your most disruptive enemy?
The enemy that disrupts
me the most. Like, you're in the arena,
The fucking summoner.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, I feel like...
Because my playstyle was to run directly at whatever is, like...
Man, now I gotta chase you,
The summoner goes, bye, and then there's all these other things for me to face. Right. And then it throws a bunch of things with punch through at me.
And that, she like, keeps spawning the terrain. Them. And, yeah, I can see that.
For me, it's definitely, like, it's the Baron and the
Hell Knight?
Yeah, the Hell Knight.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, it's just this big dude...
The run straight at you.
Meaty fucker punches in the head.
He does enough damage that you can't just like be at close range with him, and he's got like hit points for days.
Yeah.
So it's like me running backwards through the map in a loop, shooting a plasma rifle at him until he like
that's my life.
Hey, so you know what's really fun? Headshotting Hell Knight.
Yeah.
with the Gauss rifle.
Oh, I tried doing that, and I never could do it effectively. So
Steven watched me do it at this close of like. Body to body, five times in a row, because their heads are like, yeah.
Well, and it's like the whole screen at that point,
right?
Yeah. I think the invisible pinkies are the ones that fuck me the most. I shot those with
the rocket.
So but like the thing is like I jump into the arena. Oh, an imp rip his face off, right? Like, one of the shooty, formerly a guard guys, cool, like shield guy, throw a grenade at his feet, whatever. And then, like, next thing I know, I'm in a wall, and this thing that's invisible is sliming me, and I'm like...
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the pinky is the camera effect.
Yeah, they surprise me enough, and when I'm moving quickly, I don't notice the, like, weird predator blur that they have on them.
Whenever I would see the invisible pinkies, I would be thrilled that they are not normal pinkies.
They have less health.
They have less health. They're also not armored on the front.
Oh, really?
Like, normal pinkies. So you can just shoot at them and they die. You don't have to, like, play with them. And I don't think I ever got blindsided by them, but that just might be the way I traverse the map.
Yeah, no, like,
that might just be my own bad playstyle.
Well, and that game was really, like, cathartic for me because I've been playing cover shooters for years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this game's great because you jump in there, you shoot it in the face, and you rip its arm off and beat it to death with it.
That's why I liked the Psycho in Borderlands 2 so much, is they designed it to make you want to do things you never do in shooters. And that's really fun.
So that's why, like, I just sort of, like, fell into Doom for, like, a weekend, was because, like, it's feeding this thing that other games don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I literally was...
It's like what Serious Sam was so popular.
Yeah. I was doing, like, they're like, yo, you're the Doom Slayer, you do this. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I do this.
Yeah. And then, like, it just became like, yeah.
So I want to talk about, I don't like the Cyber Demon.
Just the Cyber Demon?
Just the Cyber Demon. I didn't have trouble with either of the other two bosses.
Huh.
Just the Cyber Demon. Cyber Demon's a real motherfucker. And actually, I'm going to addendum that. Only one of his attacks in his second phase.
The wave thing, right?
The wave thing, and only the horizontal one.
Mm-hmm.
The vertical one was fine. And, yeah.
Yeah, like, I remember you talking about having a lot of trouble with that, and I definitely had trouble with it, but, like, not on the scale you did, so it was hard for me to talk about it and not feel like I was minimizing it. Like you were, like, really frustrated about it because I talked to you right after you'd done it.
Yeah, the Cyber Demon definitely gave me some static, but it wasn't the... Of the three bosses, it was the one I got the least hung up on.
That's weird, because I had no trouble with either of the other two. Their attacks were eminently dodgeable.
The second boss pissed me off because I was used to being able to hurt things the whole time. Like, it has to open up, or you have to hit it in the right places. And, like, that's something that... Like, for you, you were talking about the Cyber Demon expects these things the rest of the game doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Is like I'm having a lot of fun playing Doom. And what is Doom? Doom is you're in an arena.
Right.
You're locked in there.
Right.
There are demons. Kill them to leave.
You're locked in there, but really they're locked in with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, you kill them and you're able to leave. And like time to kill is like at best 9 seconds.
Right.
Right. Like so for me to be locked in an arena with this thing that punishes me for the instinct of double jumping every time you jump.
Right. When there's no other reason not to do that the rest of the game.
See, so I don't have that instinct, and part of it is there was a habit that it never hurt me, as far as I can tell, but it was definitely, like, an unnecessary habit that I kept, where I never, like mentally internalized that there's like no fall damage and things like that. Mm. And so, like, in like an FPS where you get a double jump and there is fall damage, I would often like make a point of saving my second jump when I jump off high ledges to cushion my fall.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And because, and so I think that, like, I didn't double jump the way you did that caused you trouble with the cyber demon, mm-hmm. because I have this,
there's this weird reflex, this thing.
Jumping tick that I have.
Yeah, interesting.
This habit that didn't really benefit me, I guess, except unwittingly it helped me with the cyber demon.
So the second boss, the two of them for some reason were easier.
Well, maybe we should clarify mechanically what the cyber demon's doing and why this is.
So the cyber demon does this thing where the cyber demon is like this big demon. He's bigger than you. You have to shoot him a lot, right? And you kill him, and then he turns into a hell portal. You go to hell. He's there because it's hell.
He's there and he's in hell, and now he's getting hell energy.
And he gets back up, and his arm that was previously a robot arm is now a demon arm, and it has a big sword on it. And he can shoot these, like, phantom blades at you by swinging his blade arm.
Right, he shoots a wave out of the sword. He shoots
a wave, and then a little bit behind it, a wave that is at a different height. And so you have to jump correctly through these or take. It's a ridiculous amount of damage.
It's like 70 damage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Considering at the time, like, you're having. Going into that fight, if you're not doing it perfectly, you're going in with 200 health.
Yeah.
Like, at best. Right? So, yeah, it's very, very punishing. You know, on top of the other thing that's pretty hard to dodge, the, like, laser cannon arm he does at you.
Right.
So, doing that, I didn't
And then he puts you in a box, too.
None of the other attacks were able to hit me.
Right.
There was only those two attacks, and it was only because every time I hit spacebar in that game, for the previous 4 hours, I had hit it twice.
Right.
And that's what the game taught me to do, so.
And the same sort of, like,
this isn't. And then I was mad at the cyber demon because I wanted to get back to killing killing demons in arenas.
Right.
Right.
And that fight is totally not that.
And it's not that at all, and you can't leave it, and you can't progress till you finish it, so.
Right. Yeah, and then, like, for the same reasons you don't like that, right? Like, this isn't the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. The second boss fight was difficult for me because there's no other timing needed enemy. There's no enemy that's like, ha, you can't hit me right now. Like, there's the shield guys are the closest thing you get,
yeah.
And you just walk around them and shoot them in the back.
I'd arguably that Pinky is like a timing.
Okay, enemy, but not in like not in like there's a damage timing window.
I don't understand why, like, the second boss. And I don't understand.
No, it's fine.
I don't get that at all because it was like two tries for me.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
One tried to learn his pattern, and I was like, okay, that's your pattern. And Steven was sitting right behind me, and he's like, you're going to fight two.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, cool. So I saved my rockets.
Right.
So when there was two, I was shooting two of them at the same time.
Right.
Right? With the huge explosion, remote detonated. You have a dot now rocket.
So maybe that's where mine was different.
Well, so when I played the second boss, it was immediately clear after the first attempt what needed to be done.
Yeah.
And I just had a difficult time executing
right.
on the type of jump I needed to do to dodge his thing he spits out at you. And so what I ended up doing, just because I got sick of this, I ran into this boss at a really inopportune time. I hit it like the day before I went on vacation to visit my family. So I got back from vacation, haven't touched the game in a week, and I'm just on the boss that I've been, like, having a terribly hard time with.
Right.
And so, like, I got to a similar point, like you, Matt, where it was like, I want to continue playing the game. I want to go back to climbing in arenas with demons and shooting them and running around.
Yeah.
So I bumped my difficulty down, managed to get through that phase. And actually, the second phase of that fight's, like, way easier than the first.
It's weirdly easier. Like,
yeah.
Well, and for me, it was mostly easy because I was doing half of a BFG every rocket shot because I'm hitting both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, right,
yeah.
So that's rad. Oh, one thing I should note, bad play style on my part. I didn't know that T was the BFG key until, the last level of the game.
That's, like, a really easy detail to miss. Like, when you get the BFG, I don't remember ever being told.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you it's not a number.
And the game...
It does, so a little thing pops up at the bottom of the screen. Okay. You just haven't seen a tutorial for 2 hours.
Well, right, and I'm running around already crushing things,
I had a similar thing happen to me, where, like, the game has such momentum, like, in the gameplay, that I never stopped to say, like, oh, I can just press escape to pause the game and look at the controls and look up the key. It's like, fuck, I gotta keep playing. I gotta shoot things with these rockets. These
demons are still alive.
And it was only, like, after I stepped on, like, my 12th BFG ammo and couldn't pick it up and couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is BFG ammo. You know, I should stop for a second and figure out what the fucking buttons
are. Well, and then I learned it talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I messaged Keenan. I was like, oh, hey, by the way, just in case, because this detail's super easy to miss, the key for BFG is T. And he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, like...
Okay, so I got to tell you his thing. Steven was telling me this. So you know how the BFG, you, like, shoot it at them, and it's like a ball that, like, shoots them with lightning?
Oh, the speed run thing.
Right, so apparently you could shoot the ball, and then you can go into the weapon wheel, which slows down time, but it doesn't slow down the BFG's tick rate, and the ball stops moving, mostly.
It just does a bunch of damage.
So on bosses, you can just win.
Okay. So I think that's why, part of why I struggled with the second boss fight is, like, if I had... Partially, I had a problem executing on the timing window. Because the things I was using were slower moving. I was locking rockets onto the guy, and then trying to time it in between the shield being down.
You gotta hit that dude with hits.
No, and like, I figured that out and I worked around it eventually. But my style up until that point was, I'm gonna stick some stuff to you and you're gonna explode, not... Right, so he'd just put his shield up and be like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. And that sucked for me.
Yeah, I think that's also part of why I had such a hard time with him, because... I was using the rocket launcher to fight him, and so, like, maybe half my attacks were getting through.
Right, right.
It would be timed properly, so, like...
And then I'm out of ammo, and I'm like, I don't want to shotgun this dude.
Well, in, like, the dodging thing that I was having a hard time executing, it's not just that it's hard to execute, but that because I'm doing damage to him so slowly, I have to do it over and over. And even with maxed out health and armor, I think the way the numbers sort of bore out when I was playing it on normal difficulty is that, like, I can fuck up once.
Yeah.
And if I fuck up once, I can survive that. And if I fuck up again, I will die.
Right. Yeah, so I ran into that a lot. But then for some reason, the set of two of them was easier because there was always one that was open.
Yeah.
Is the way it worked for me.
Yeah, they don't have a shield on the
second one. Oh, okay.
And they also drop health and ammo when you're hurting them.
Yeah, so that's the part. Like, the boss fights were really hard for, like...
They also get staggered. They get hit stunned when they reach certain damage thresholds, which were happening all the time because I was dotting them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so once I'd get one staggered, they were dead, right? Like, it was just like, no, you're done. Mm-hmm. But I also, the thing that the boss fights made me do, because the bosses are all so big, is I started using the thrown grenades then.
Okay.
I didn't use them until the Cyber Demon, but I'm like, he's not moving quick.
Mm. I literally only ever used thrown grenades by accident.
So it's weird, because I did that by accident during the boss fight, and then it took a chunk of his health, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. And then I started using it on everything that was slow moving. Because, like, Mancubus, hey, you sit on it. Right? Like just whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with the grenades and me, because it's not that they aren't good. Maybe it's a similar thing where, like, how I never internalize fully that there's no fall damage. I never internalize fully that I had a button-pressed grenade throw in the game.
Well, and that's the weird thing is, grenade is on control.
Yeah.
Which in all the games we've been playing is crouch.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so, like,
and also, this is a game that... will ask you to crouch every once in a while, but for the most part never asks you to crouch.
You don't need it.
And so, like, occasionally I never internalized that crouch was this different key. So every once in a while I would want to crouch, throw a grenade, like, at my feet or something, be like, shit, run away from a grenade.
Well, and, like, the thing is, like, other shooters want you to crouch behind things.
Yeah.
Doomguy crouches behind things and six demons jump on him and kill him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the third boss wasn't as hard once I learned the pattern. But yeah, there was something about the damage timing window for me that...
On the third boss?
On the second one.
Oh, on the second boss.
That really, like, threw me at first, and I was like, okay. Yeah, but it wasn't like I got frustrated, it was just like, okay, I'm not doing the right thing for this, was my reaction to it. So, I learned it, but...
So I guess... Kind of wrap it up here, I feel like, as far as Doom goes, unless you have more things to say, Owen.
I had one more thing on my Doom agenda.
Sure. I wanted to ask one more thing before we get to the last thing on your Doom agenda.
Sure.
So I have here written in my notes the Payday 2 / Bad Techno Award. Do you guys remember what that means? So I'm reading this as a thing the game did that is objectively shitty,
but that you love.
Objectively janky, but is also like,
a bad thing that hits the right spot.
Yeah,
is that a good summary?
Yeah, I feel like for me it was the particular flavor of objectively shitty metal music.
Yeah,
that works perfectly for what's going on.
I will agree with that minus the shitty adjective, because that shit is amazing. Like,
objectively like, metal music.
Yes. Yes, it is objectively metal. The thing about that soundtrack that I really love is that they were capable of doing so many different kinds of metal, and they do them all in this really cheesy video game ass Saturday morning cartoon sort of way.
Yeah,
that really works for that game.
There's a glee to the soundtrack.
Yes. It's very like
anyway, so I want to give the Payday 2 award to the soundtrack.
The soundtrack makes me wish I owned red jeans.
Yeah. And, so, like, and for, my Jokos.
Yep.
And for the record, Bad Playstyle is a pro Simon Vicklund podcast. We're not trying to besmirch his good name.
But, like, I love horrible techno.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, what was the thing you had?
I want to know what you guys think. Like, is this game a fluke? Like, could you ever make a sequel to this reboot of Doom? Mm. Like, couldn't you even imagine, like, what story DLC would be like for this game? Like, is this a one and done? Can we ever expect... is this something we can expect from it in the future, even if it's not necessarily Doom?
For me, I don't care what happens next. Okay. Storyline of this game. That's not why I
played. Oh yeah.
Right? Like at the end they had that stinger where, you know, Samuel Hayden pulls out he turns the thing
you've been carrying into a giant laser sword.
And he's like, I'm a badass. And honestly, I'm like, no, the Doom Marine should have ripped his head off and smashed it into the ground. And if you wanted to do a sequel where Samuel Hayden comes out, you do that stinger, guess what? At the beginning of the next game. Right? Like,
I don't think so that's my answer to this is that I think that ending sets up a very obvious second game.
No, but, like, so my problem with that is that you absolutely, 100%, cannot do more of the same.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
You can't come in and be like, hey, glory kills, you remember those from 6 months ago? Those were cool, right?
Yeah.
And you can't have 8 new weapons... and be like...
Yeah, no, you can't progress it the same way you would a sequel.
Yeah, so, like, my problem is, so what the fuck? Don't even try. Let's do something completely different.
I think if you go after doing Doom 2, I can agree that it wouldn't work as well. But I think that game looks like the Doom guy, the Doom Slayer, chasing Samuel Hayden down because the job isn't done.
Sure, I mean, like, that would be compelling... But I'm saying the actual, like, underlying...
The gameplay stuff wouldn't work.
Stuff, it doesn't work again.
Right.
You can't be like, I have a new tile set for you.
Right.
I have 8 new weapons for you. I have some slightly different power-ups.
Right.
And I have a different, like, upgrade tree. You can't do that.
Right, because the thing that's good about...
Go
for it.
Well, it was just like, it, making a sequel to it would work, like... Doom in a certain way, like it was an unknown, mm-hmm. like before it came out, it would require something on that level. Like, if you know, I made this comparison of like someone telling me about Doom without me playing it, like how I would react to that. Like, glory kills are canned animations where you kill enemies. It's like, wow,
yeah,
whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. It's like, QTEs, what is this, 2005?
Yeah, but like they're actually great,
yeah.
They work really well in the game, and so like making a sequel to Doom would require some sort of unknown, it's not just making 8 new weapons. Like, I think if they made a sequel, it would probably actually work better to keep all the weapons and just have different upgrades for them, but like to make them
different,
behave fundamentally different, but like that's not important anyway. What I was just trying to say is, like, if you were to make a sequel, like, it would have to be something we don't know we want.
Right, right. It needs to do the same thing again.
What is it, right? And I don't have an answer to that, and so I don't think that it, unless they're sitting down and having, like, some good-ass meetings, has the answer to that yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, like, I don't think they expected it to be as big as it is. I don't think anyone expected it to be as fun and work as well as it does, right? Why were we even talking about Doom in 2017, right? That's insane. But it's so different enough from everything we've been fed for so long that it surprised us. What?
Except Bulletstorm.
Fair. But it surprised us in a way that it can't do again, right?
Yeah. It's, I want to say can't, and I have said can't a few times now,
it shouldn't be able to do that again.
So part of the reason I brought this question up is the Quake franchise, I think, is past its glory days.
Oh, for sure.
We've not had, like, a game, a Quake game that anyone raves about in quite some time. There's a new multiplayer Quake game on the horizon.
Yeah, they've announced that they're doing Quake now.
Yeah, they're doing a and it's a multiplayer arena Quake. It's not like Quake 4 where you go fight the strong. It's like, no, it's just like some cyber jackoffs in a 3D arena jumping around shooting rockets at each other.
Should we talk about the fact that, like, they shipped this and tried to do it the same way that COD did it, where the single player was like this thing that we're not talking about? And the multiplayer was the focus?
Yeah,
like,
the fact that the beta of the game was a multiplayer, and the multiplayer of this game is the least exciting piece of it.
I don't think that they're trying to sell it as multiplayer first, though, and story second. Like, the multiplayer of Doom, from what I understand, is outsourced to another developer.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely, like, a afterthought. Like, you can't release Doom without a multiplayer, but it's not like Call of Duty, where they're selling a multiplayer game that also, like, has a single player. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think most of their energy
as
went
a single
into
player, simply so that you can feel you got your money's worth.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
though less than 20% of the player base plays that.
Yeah,
even though they're like the best action movies ever.
Yeah, I think, and I think
seriously, you Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, no,
really good.
I think you don't get to. I think had they shown off any of the single player in the beta or anything like that, it wouldn't have had the pop it did.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Right? It wouldn't have been as surprising for that first 5 minutes of, like, you know, punch a demon's head off, shoot another demon in the face, there's your armor surrounded by candles, people are praying to you. Like the way that intro builds is so good that you don't want that out of the bag at all, right? Like, that's the surprise of that, and the build to that is so good that why would you shoot yourself in the foot showing it?
So what do you think the pathway is here? If you're a producer at id and you suddenly get this pile of money because people enjoy your Doom game, what do you do? Do you try to revitalize the Quank franchise, which sounds like they're doing? What do you do? Like,
does Quake come out soon too?
I think it's this year. It's like end of this year. I don't know because in some regards, and I don't know if you guys have played it, but the newest Wolfenstein game that came out like 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
The Old Blood, I think, New Order, Old Blood's the DLC, is good for all unexpected reasons as well, right? Mm-hmm. It's this weird, like, Man in the High Castle sort of 1960s, the Nazis have won game, and like, definitely doesn't have, like, the story depth that High Castle does, but, like, is playing all those same tricks on you as the viewer, and, like, it creates this interesting narrative for what used to be Wolfenstein 3D and Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which are, like, you know, they're mostly shooty games. There's not a lot of depth there, but they give Blazkowicz a character, and he interacts with people in a really human way, and, like, that surprise is really great, and it's from a different company, but then for them to come around and do this to Doom again, like,
mm-hmm.
For both of those to be as commercially as successful as they are, and also critically successful when they're built on maze shooters, is insane. And there's no obvious answer. Like, you already progressed this beyond its wildest dreams. What could you possibly do?
And I think, you know, you look at it, it's like, what, Doom 1, obviously successful.
Right.
Doom 2, a polish on that. Like, it's just an iteration,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Of the same exact thing. Doom 3. Total departure.
What?
Like, largely a failure.
Ambitious as hell.
Yeah.
But,
And, like, I'm not saying that Doom 3 didn't have good points. There are a number of mods out there that are, like, horror games that use that engine that they're real good. Doom 3 scared the poop out of me.
My understanding, like, there's some game developers I, like, listen to on Twitter. Like, I follow them. And, like, there is, like, a sort of, like, weird reverence for the engine for Doom 3.
Yeah, the things that thing does.
Because, like, that's after Romero left id, but Carmack was still there. And so, like, Carmack is the, like, savant tech guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, like, Doom 3 is, like, the most bland in, like, its story and, like...
Right, its flavor is lacking, but its tech is insane. And then, to add to your declining quality, Doom the movie.
Yeah.
Right, like
saw
I think
that in theaters.
I think so bad, so good.
I saw a thing on my internet yesterday that said, "Did you know that Dwayne Johnson and The Rock are twins?"
Yeah,
it's just like,
So that, like Doom got franchised into the ground, right, is what we're saying. Like, yeah. Like, it, the magic wore off, you tried to polish it up, it didn't, mm-hmm. And so what we're talking about now is, like, how do you not do that again?
Right, so, like, the track record here is that the next Doom game will be shit. The next three Doom games will be shit.
I think the smart thing is not make another Doom game, but I don't think Bethesda, who owns that id, is smart enough to let that go.
I think there will almost certainly be another Doom game with how well this one did, and I also, like, and if the next one is as good as this one, like, I will be thrilled.
Right.
But I also, like, wouldn't at all, like, I guess blame the developers if it didn't live up to being a sequel to Doom.
Right. I would love a game that's all about, like, ripping Samuel Hayden's head off. I think that would be great, but you'd have to feed it right.
So, like, in the like, backstory in the game, you can find out that, like, Samuel Hayden was, like, a dude,
uh-huh.
and his body was, like, falling apart, and so he, like, made himself a robot body. What if, like, the plot of Doom 2 is, like, Samuel Hayden using the Crucible, the spooky demon yeah. sword thing, to make him a new body, and it's, like, fucking Romero's face, you know? It's a boss in Doom 2.
He becomes the icon of sin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to see a good Doom 2, but like, I don't like, think like
what
it's
if it's
there.
Doom 2, : the hubris of Samuel Hayden, : icon of sin.
Real Colin Storm you got there.
Yeah.
Colin yep. Storm. Yep, that was there were layers there on purpose.
Is that what you do with your dog every afternoon? Take him outside for a colon storm?
No, that's Aaron's dog. Aaron. That's Opie.
Yep.
Opie does a colon storm.
Okay, I think...
Yeah!
Have we covered the Doom agenda?
We've covered Doom, and with that, I'm going to segue harshly.
Harsh segue.
Do a StarCraft.
Do a StarCraft. Yeah!
Alright, Owen, do a Metal Gear.
A Metal Gear?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Metal.
Yeah, that you just did it. Jatakazole. Yeah. So, there we go.
Okay, good.
Hey, Keenan.
Yes.
What was the dumbest thing that happened in wrestling this week?
The dumbest thing that happened in wrestling this week. It's a kind of a dry week for dumb stuff, so I'm sorry.
Sure.
They're getting real serious because it's Royal Rumble WrestleMania season.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know. So... Yeah, there's nothing dumb and funny.
Why do you watch wrestling, then?
That's a good question in that regard. I would say the dumbest thing that happened in wrestling this week is there's one guy who really, really wants to get a hold of Triple H, and in the middle of his match, they played Triple H's music, but Triple H wasn't in the fucking building, so he lost his match. That's really dumb.
Right? Okay,
like,
yeah.
That's like a bad story beat. You don't do that.
That's yeah.
Then I played his music, so, like, he'd come out.
Speaking of bad story beats, this is a wonderful segue, as opposed to, Keenan, do a StarCraft.
God damn it.
All right. Fantastic. Owen, speaking of horrible story beats, I heard you've been playing Skyrim.
I have.
I, like, hate those story beats, and that hurts me.
I don't know why I'm playing Skyrim. I don't, like, hate it or anything, but I don't love Skyrim as a game. And
is it just, like, too easy to be playing Skyrim?
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. It's really easy to, like, watch videos and play it. Whereas, like, I've been playing Tyranny, which you definitely can't be watching a thing and playing Tyranny.
Yeah, story heavy.
And so, like, to just completely decompress, I, like, put on some videos on one monitor, and then... go skulk around Skyrim and, like, crawl into shopkeepers' homes at night and kill them and take their things. And, like, it's this, like, completely directionless playthrough of the game. Like, I joined the Dark Brotherhood and I did, like, some of their missions.
But just to get their clothes.
Yeah, I got their, like, nice Dark Brotherhood armor where I do tons of backstab damage. And I kind of dropped the Dark Brotherhood.
Thanks for the gloves, guys. Later.
But also, like, I'm living the Dark Brotherhood life, like, more than they ever did. Because, like, I'm just going out jacking fools.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like out on the road.
So it sounds like you're a murderer. You're not a paid assassin.
Yeah, I'm just like a serial killer, I guess. you know, like me and my orcish dagger. It's like the best dagger I found, and I found like a lot of orcish daggers and nothing better. It's actually kind of starting to irritate me that I can't find something.
Well, a little better. It's like level locked, right?
Yeah.
So you just need to level up.
And like I'm not like really into the progression even because sometimes if I realize I can't do a thing I like doing in Skyrim, I'll just pop open the console and max out a skill so I can do it.
Oh,
you know, okay. Like this is like the most like directionless and masturbatory playthrough of Skyrim.
So like Skyrim's always that for me.
It's not even like a power fantasy. You're just like
I'm just like piddling around.
Yeah, all right.
I feel like Elder Scrolls games own that position, though. Like, every once in a while, you gotta feed the beast.
Yeah!
You know, like...
But, like, even when I play Bethesda's Fallout games, I get at least a little bit invested into the characters in-world, whereas, like, in this, like, it's completely incidental to me, like, whether I'm in Skyrim or just, like, I don't know, anywhere. Like, I saw a mod recently for Skyrim that turns the whole game, it does a complete tile set overhaul, and turns it into, like, a desert oasis land with, like, palm trees and sand. And I saw some...
That's very upsetting.
I saw someone using this mod online, and I've been trying to find it just to mix things up, because I don't give a fuck about the Elder Scrolls universe anymore, I feel like. And, like, this would just be a nice change of pace, but...
Yeah. I think it's more the engine and the dungeons and like there's a baseline to Skyrim that everyone loves that like, you know, Conan like fucking go in the cave and find a cool sword shit after killing a bunch of skeletons.
That's the other thing too is I'm not even going into dungeons.
Really?
Yeah. Like the only time I ever go into a dungeon is if I see a castle with bandits in it because I know that like those are like some dudes I can just like jack. And like that they're people. Whereas like if I see like a cave full of skeletons like I'm out. Like I don't care.
So, like, you're not only, like, a murderer, but you're, like, specific about killing living people.
Yeah.
Nice! Okay.
Yeah, and you're, like, definitely not filling up Black Soul Gems. Complete waste.
Oh, and I got that mod where it's the alternate start. Where you,
oh, love it.
When you make a new character,
you just wake up somewhere.
You wake up somewhere with, like, some items.
And you're like, what am I? I'm a merchant, I think.
Which, like, I found, like, a weird contradiction in it. Because you can still do the main quest with that mod. Because when you wake up in that random place, it's just like, hey, maybe you should investigate Helgen. And then, like, you'll see, like, the event where the dragon burns the place down and the story pops off. But I never went to Helgen. Like, I still have a quest that says, go to Helgen, yo.
Fuck Helgen. Yeah.
But when you talk to people, because the game is normally designed where you start in Helgen, I can tell people I've been there and I've seen it. And that, like, things happened in Helgen that definitely haven't happened yet.
Well, that's just the way the game is
designed. Yeah. I mean, to fix that, I would be asking the modder to go to, like, extreme lengths to fix, like, what is honestly a really minor inconsistency with the mod.
You're telling the game, I've been to Helgen. And the game's like, no, you need to go to Helgen. And you're done arguing with the game about it.
Yeah, so you've been playing Tyranny, and you've been playing...
Oh, and I've been playing a lot of Factorio.
Yeah.
Factorio.
Oh, God. I've launched 32
Another Feed the Beast game.
Yeah. So the objective of Factorio is to build a giant autonomous factory... so that you can launch a satellite. You were stranded on an alien planet. Launch a satellite to, I believe, contact your people so they can rescue you. So when you eventually tech up to launching a rocket with a satellite, the game tells you you've won. And I did that. And then I just kept playing.
Is there just a keep going button?
Yeah. Nice. It's like in Civilization. And so I've built this enormous factory. I've annihilated all the native alien... There's like bugs. There's space cockroaches that attack your base. And I've launched 32 satellites, and I've optimized my factory to, like, a really upsetting degree.
Does the planet have free internet yet?
No, because I'm the only resident.
There's no, like, data system.
Even I don't have the internet in this world.
Yeah, I guess that's hard with one person.
It's a pretty lonely experience.
Like, what's it gonna do, open a blog?
Like, I started building highways through my base so I can drive my Jeeps on it. I started building multiple Jeeps. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I find it, like, very enjoyable to just boot up my Factorio save and just, like
Keep going.
Like, on Friday night, I got home from work.
Just enjoy the numbers.
Yeah, I got home from work on Friday night, and I just optimized my petroleum plant. And it's like, it's working great now.
I love the idea of them coming to get you, and they're like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah,
So So do you?
You built a highway system. Do you system?
Think the protagonist in Factorio is like a typical example of a person of his culture, or do you think that this dude is like a idiot savant who, like, wherever he goes, turns things in from in-ordered systems to ordered systems?
I think he is psychologically broken by being stranded on this planet.
Okay.
Something I discovered after
putting... Does that mean you're just creating to do things? Is that, like...
Well, so, like, you launch the rocket, but it's not you getting in the rocket and flying away.
Right.
Like, it's like if you watched Castaway, and Tom Hanks is stranded on this island, and he labors for years of his life to build a flare gun and shoot it.
And there's no payoff to that.
And he's still stuck on the fucking island. Yeah. So, like, that's what I've done by launching the satellite. So it's like, I don't know, guess I'm still stuck here. I better shoot 31 more flares. Let's get cracking on building those flare guns.
And he's only building because it's the only thing he has.
Yeah.
Like, you have a fully functioning, fully automated factory, an entire highway system, and you've eradicated all the bugs, and, you know, they just land. They're like, what the fuck, dude? And you're like, I've been here a while.
He eats nothing but fish. There's only one food in Factorio. If you go over to the ponds, sometimes you can see little dark shapes, and if you click on them, I only discovered this after playing the game for 200 hours, that if you click on the fish, you get a fish in your inventory, and you can eat it, and it heals you a little bit if you've been hurt by a cockroach recently.
Oh, that's good.
It's not even, like, super important.
Because you die in that game and just respawn.
No, if you die in the game ends.
Oh, okay.
If you die, it's just game over.
Apparently my factories aren't big enough for that to not feel like a respawn.
Yeah. But, like, the game also autosaves, like, every, you know, 4 minutes or something. So, like, if you die, there's no way you could have lost much progress.
Right.
Sure.
What have you been playing, Matt?
Me? Oh, just Warframe.
Just Warframe?
Just Warframe.
Trying to think if I've seen you play anything else recently.
No. I think that's it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I figured out how to run the economy in Warframe, so it's fun again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Figured the new hole.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I can go out, and since I've been playing the game for so long, I can go to areas that other players can't, and very easily, very, like, trivially get things that they would pay me money for, like, real cash money for, and real, then I could go...
In-game real money currency.
Well, that's, like, made out of real money, yeah, so I can go to them afterwards with the thing I just did that was, like, easy, and be like, hey, do you want this thing? And they'll be like, yeah, and be like, I don't want this thing here. And they're like, well, is this price good enough? I'm like, I don't care! And then they just pay me real money.
This is the unintentional end game for Warframe.
Then they pay me real money, and then I go buy cosmetics with it. And that's fun for me, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, but you're the guy who shows up to trades and stuff no one can have, too. Yeah, so, like, you know, like, that is... I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's been playing Warframe for, what, 4 years now?
God. Don't talk about it.
like I just want to provide some context. Like, Matt's been playing it since it was in beta, and I played it in beta with him.
I was about to say, when did Warframe come out? Because, you bought into
it. I bought into the beta.
Yeah, so, like, and there's nothing, like, I'm not trying to, like, make it weird. Yeah. You obviously enjoy it. But to provide some context, Matt has almost everything in Warframe because Matt's been playing that long.
Yeah.
So new content updates are really cool. Unless they suck, but whatever. That's just live games.
Yeah.
You've
been playing Long War 2.
Uh-huh.
And I've been looking at that going, well, I never actually did an XCOM 2 playthrough because I played Long War 1 for like 3 months.
Yeah, we did that to each other.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are crazy. these guys both played the extra long, extra hard mod of the first XCOM like a month before it came out, and I think we'd all pre-ordered XCOM.
Yep.
And I'm the only one of the three of us that actually fucking played the game when it came out.
And then I haven't really played it until Long War 2 came out because fuck aliens, like, and me and my attachment to my squads. Because people don't live in Long War. That's not how it works.
They do in my game.
Yeah, there's reasons for that.
So this March, Warframe will have been out for 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But you got in the beta, so, like...
I mean, like, that was, like, a December winter break thing.
But what I'm saying is, like, so you're probably past the 4-year mark, you. Because the proper release is only like a month and a half away or something.
Well,
because
no, I think they're counting, because they did anniversary stuff during beta. Beta was like a year long, so.
Oh, okay.
I think, or is it, I don't know. Like, it all blurs together. I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember specific.
Well, and the game's changed so much.
I remember in-game events. I don't remember when those happened in reference to like other things that were happening in my life.
Real times. Yeah. Okay, whatever. I guess it's my turn, right? For what I've been playing.
Yeah, Long War 2.
I've been playing. No, it's not just that though. I've been playing Long War 2. I've been playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Is that like that Due Process knockoff?
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, so the thing that's cool about that is it's the first person shooter my girlfriend's been interested in playing, so we've been playing that a lot together.
Cool.
And she's like getting better at doing PC shooter game stuff. Also, I just really like that game because 15-year-old me playing Counter-Strike really wanted to knock that wall down and shoot that dude in the head, and now I can do that, and that's great.
It's good.
There's good meta game in that game, the way they build things onto that game. They pay attention to what's kind of broken in the game, and then they build something that counters it instead of punishing existing play. So, like, a good example of that is in the base game, there's two guys who attack buildings who find and destroy electronic items. And most of the defense items are electronic. So the first character they patched in was this lady who basically lays down big bear traps. So they're all mechanical, and that dude can't break them, and etc. So, like,
okay.
They provide this cool counterplay through what they're building, rather than
also
nerfing things to death and punishing people.
When a dude comes through a window and steps in your big bear trap, and then you roll over and shoot him with a shotgun, that's awesome.
It's a great feeling. You're like, ha-ha, you're dumb, you're dead. So, yeah, that game's really cool, and they weirdly grew backwards. Like, they've got more players now than when they started.
Yeah, games do that now.
Yeah.
It's weird. There's, like, AAA games which do the normal, like, peak, and then...
Like, 80% of your sales in the first week, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and like, that doesn't... It's not exactly...
Yeah, like
if I'm a developer, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like that's what Hitman's done, is, like, they said, like, hey, we're gonna make this game that has, like, a really long tail on it that, like ratchets up more and more as time goes on, rather than...
Well, and I'm sure their numbers are similar in that they go up over time...
Yeah.
As
yeah.
there's more game.
Yeah, I believe they have.
I'm
saying this looking at no numbers or data,
right?
Like,
but
what,
like
what I've anecdotally heard on the internet, but
I think more people now like Hitman than they did when it came out. Like, I think it's an easy thing to gauge.
Okay.
Cool.
Does anyone have anything else to say?
I think that's a show.
So I think it is too.
Do we have a sign off?
One second. What are we doing next time, Owen?
Well, I would. If you're asking me what game I want to play next, for
I'm not asking you what you want. I'm asking you what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Executive Owen.
Sounds like you get first pick.
Okay,
that's what I think that means.
We're gonna play Oxenfree.
Okay,
all right.
I couldn't remember the name of the game.
Oh, okay.
So I was trying to do like a thing.
I see. Yeah. Cool.
Can you provide a little bit of what Oxenfree is?
Tell about Oxenfree, Owen.
Oxenfree is a spooky ghost story game about teens.
Excellent.
You are.
Can we monetize them?
These are non-monetized teens.
Damn it!
They seem pretty broke. honestly, I would target a different demographic.
Yeah, I never understood the idea of, like, your demographic being teens don't have any fucking money.
Nah, but the parents do.
So the game's about a bunch of teenagers go to the island where teens go to drink and smoke and fuck or whatever. And this island has, like, sort of a spooky ghost story. I don't like to use the word ghost to describe what's happening on the island, but, like, there's myth, like, sort of rumors and myths, like, there's these weird radio frequencies on the island, and they're coming from nowhere. Like, some of it can be explained, like, yeah, there's, like, a dilapidated military installation, and so there's, like, a repeating numbers station. It's like, alright, whatever, that doesn't, like, break my imagination. But
Has
then,
anyone cracked the numbers station?
What, in Oxenfree?
Yeah. is there an ARG group doing
I don't
that?
I don't think so. Well, it repeats, and I don't think it changes much throughout the game. Anyway, yeah, and so there's, like, these mysterious radio frequencies and noises and, like, weird archival music comes up. And then there's, like, this portal to a weird dimension that appears when you're hanging out with your teen friends in a cave.
Okay.
And sounds good.
Weird crap happens, and it's mostly just like dialogue options and walking around picturesque map pieces. There's like almost no UI. It's a very pretty game.
Okay, and it's short, which is part of why we're playing it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right.
And then the only other thing I would say to that effect is we might be able to get a guest host on our podcast.
Okay.
I have someone I know who might be interested in playing along with us and being on the podcast.
Who's that?
Like a rotating chair?
So I was playing it last night, and one of my housemates sat down with me and watched me play it for a while.
Yeah.
And she was like, I want to play this game now.
Okay.
And
that sounds great.
And I was like, hey, we might do this on a podcast. She was like, I would love to be on a podcast. And I was like, cool.
So who's this person? Let's generate some hype.
At least she lives downstairs. Okay. She
At least from downstairs.
She doesn't.
That's how we're getting introduced.
She doesn't play video games much, from what I understand.
That will be useful for.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be an outside look.
Cool.
All right. And with that, that's the end of our show. I will leave you with my favorite noise that I encountered during editing. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Good game, guys. Now's when he tells us it didn't record. Is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.